Looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change? Wishing you could keep the faith? Longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Morgan, you're listening to Living on a Prayer. It's all about spirituality today. Hey, Barbie. How you doing, baby girl? You doing good?
I'm doing really good.
I should have asked you to get a sound bite from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Oh, that's the one I forgot about.
That would have been totally fun.
Perfect.
I know.
Oh, well,
next time. Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
That's right.
Hi, everybody. Hope you had a fantabulous week. I did. A little challenging coming back to the real world after vacation, I got to say. Little on the tough side, but I think I'm assimilating. I think. So we'll find out. So guess what today is? Today is 8-9-10. That's the date. It is 8-9-10. How cool is that? So check this out. Numerology. 8 is the number of earthly achievement. 9 is the number of spiritual mastery. And 10 is the number of completion. So that's pretty fascinating, if you ask my opinion. Of course, everything's fascinating to me. Because I'm always looking at it from that, you know, slightly psychic cosmic perspective. So 8, 9, 10, earthly achievement, spiritual mastery, and completion. Given what is happening planetarily, astrologically, and energetically, I think that makes a ton of sense right now. So take advantage of the energy today. I would highly recommend you up the prayer ante today. And it would be a great day, I think, to have a little sit down with yourself and make a list of the things you want to manifest and all that great stuff, because that's a powerful energy, very powerful energy. So I have a confession to make. I was not a very good witch last week. I was not a very good witch. And here's why. Because I forgot to mention that last week, August 1st, was Lammas or Lunasa, which is a very powerful sacred day on the wheel of the year. It's the Sabbath that marks the ending of summer and the first harvest of the grain. It was named after Lu the Long-Handed, who was a Celtic god of fire. So Lunasa, in ancient times, the god of grain, he was also known as John Barleycorn, sacrificed himself so that the people would have plenty of food for the coming winter. So it's a time of harvest. It's a time of finishing projects that began in the spring. And it's very synchronistic with the planets right now. That grand cross T-square thing that's going on is all about paradigm shifting, etc. And that began in April. Methinks there might be a little cosmic theme going on here. I thought that was kind of cool. So again, I apologize I didn't mention the holiday. I have an excuse. I was coming back from vacation. That's going to be my excuse for the next 4 weeks. I was coming back from vacation. So I want to give a little shout out to somebody. Janet Beamer. Thanks for listening to the show, first of all. And I am super proud of you, girl. She's manifested going back to school and manifested the financial resources for that. And she's done some really amazing things through prayer and her spiritual practice. So I'm really proud of you, kiddo. Very excited for you. Can't wait to talk to you about that as that unfolds for you. So speaking of school, got some classes coming up. teaching my Living on a Prayer workshop series. Really fun, really powerful. Two Saturdays, August 28th and September 11th. It's an all-day gig at my location in Linwood. And also the Magical Course in Tarot, my tarot class. All day, kick in the butt, fun tarot class. By the end of the day, you will be reading the cards as though you've been doing it for lifetimes. No kidding. No matter how much of a novice you might be at the beginning of the day. That's on Saturday, October 2nd, again all day. If you want details, go to my website, Michelle at Michelle Morgan. Excuse me, wait a minute. That's my email. Sorry. MichelleMorgan.org. Michelle with one L, Morgan.org. And on the What's New page, you can get details on the classes. And to register, you can call 425-397-7559 or email me, Michelle at MichelleMorgan.org. Speaking of calling, look at these segues. I'm so good today, aren't I? Barb's like rolling her eyes at me. If you have a question today on the hot topic, when we get to the hot topic, the phone number to call is 877-230-3062. Again, 877-230-3062. And love to talk to you. So if there's a topic you'd like me to cover on the show, please get in touch with me. Send me an email off of the website, or you can shoot me a message on my Facebook fan page. Today's show, in fact, Religion, quote unquote, versus spirituality, was inspired, in fact, by Sue, a very loyal listener. And I love that. I absolutely love getting the feedback from my listeners, and love to cover whatever topics you guys want me to. And, of course, if you love the music on the show, and who the heck doesn't, go to iTunes and download the songs, and I will list them on my Facebook fan page. Speaking of my fan page, would love to see you on there. If you're not already a fan, get on there. We got discussions going on, and it's just a great opportunity to connect to people in between shows. So I think that's all the business garbage I need to do. So guess what time it is, kids? It's time for the Cosmic Critter of the Week. Drumroll, please. Using the Animal Spirit Guides book by Dr. Stephen Farmer, who has a show on this very station, 4 p.m. on Thursdays, Earth Magic Radio. Haven't had a chance to listen to that, but I want to because I love this book. One of my favorite books in the world. And here's the Cosmic Critter of the Week. And again, this is how I do it. I just ask, who's the Cosmic Critter of the Week? And I open the book, and there he is. Ready? Scorpion. Oh, and by the way, the gecko was last week. Of course, I'm watching Shark Week on Discovery, which is another really cool critter, and a Geico commercial came on. So I knew I would see that little British gecko at some point during the week. Here's Scorpion. This is really powerful. In order for these changes that you're going through to go smoothly, contain and control your temper and passions at this time. How many of you have been dealing with some anger issues? My hand is raised. I'm telling you, it's really a little bit fiery out there right now. I think that's the Mars thing that's going on. Anyway, so that's very appropriate. Next, you'll soon be asked by a close friend or family member to keep something confidential. Sex with someone you love will move to even greater heights of intensity and passion. Show those you're closest to plenty of non-sexual physical affection, such as hugs and gentle caresses. And finally, this is a period of transformation for you, one where you'll be releasing a lot of toxic habits and a few toxic relationships. Okay, I know that that's very appropriate for, oh, I don't know, about 100 people I know. So that was a pretty darn good message. So that's the Cosmic Critter of the Week. And another reason would love to have you on Facebook. It's really fun to hear from you when you see the Cosmic Critter, because I love to see how those guys show up. So hopefully you're not going to actually see a scorpion. I would prefer to not get an email saying, yeah, you know, pulled the covers down to go to bed tonight. And there it was. So anyway, all right. So today's show is about religion versus spirituality. The great Donnybrook. We're going to come back and talk about that here shortly. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to dive into that subject. So stick around. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Don't go away.
your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
If you've got a question for Michelle, give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Lots of Enigma today. The name of the band brings back some very new agey memories. All righty. Barbie, you're so good. Religion versus spirituality. What a great topic. And thanks again to Sue for requesting it. So here's the deal. Here's how I sort of categorize, spirituality and religion. We're going to talk about three seemingly separate topics today. They're not separate, however, but we'll dissect them a bit and see how they all match up. Religion, the New Age, and spirituality. The human pendulum swings constantly between religion and New Age thought in our culture. And it's interesting that God can be surprisingly absent in both of those places. In a nutshell, I categorize spirituality as the practice of what we learn in religion. It's the actual walking in the world with that stuff, but we'll get to that in a little bit. So, I want to talk about the idea of this religion versus spirituality. There's this huge attitude in our culture that I've dealt with in my career the entire time I've been doing this for a living, because there's these two sides and people say that, they're either religious or they're spiritual. And I just find that kind of fascinating, because they're both leading to the same thing. But the reason that they're so separate is because of the structure of both, I think. So religion and the New Age both, when I teach this stuff, I usually have a flip chart up that shows the sides of sin and bliss, heaven and hell. And both religion and the New Age utilize the instinctual truth of the only two energies that there are, love and fear. And you've heard me talk about this a billion times in my shows. There's only two energies, love and fear. And there's a primal understanding of those energies in the human psyche. And religion and the New Age have consciously and unconsciously used and capitalized on that understanding. And that's how I believe that people get caught up in needing to choose sides, so to speak. So let's talk about religion for a second. Religion being the Judeo-Christian theosophies. How has religion impacted our relationship with God? That's the big question in my mind. It's interesting. There's an entire demographic of people that are, this is a great term. It's called the formerly churched. And these are people who belonged to a church and then left that church. And there's a phenomenal percentage of formerly churched in our world right now. Religions over the last 10 years have seen a 68 to 70% decrease in their congregations, which is pretty astonishing, really. And the number one reason that's been cited by the formerly churched is a separation or a lack of inspiration towards God in the religious community. So here's some of the ways that religion has affected our relationship with God. First of all, there's rules and regulations, right? There's limitations. There's judgment. And there's contradictions. I think this one's the one that a lot of people struggle with. You know, if God is truly merciful, then why do all these horrible things happen? If God is truly omnipotent and all-powerful, how can Satan get away with so much? Well, how does that work? Well, in my mind, you know, God is not punitive, and there is no such thing as Satan. I don't believe in the devil. I believe that evil is a choice, absolutely a choice, and I believe it's really powerful. I mean, if you're choosing it, you can manifest it into a very physical entity energetically in your world. But I don't believe in that omnipotent, all-present evil that somehow takes over and makes us do crazy things. Remember Flip Wilson? The devil made me do it. Geraldine? Such a great comedy. He was so fun. Anyway, another way that religion can affect our intimate connection with God is the idea that you're not worthy of God's love, that we're born sinners and you have to jump through a whole lot of hoops to try and prove that you're worthy. And even if you do that, it's probably not going to work. That's, to me, the saddest thing, because I really don't believe that that's what God intended. And so here's how I like to try and explain how I think religion got to that idea or got to that perception that we are sinners and not worthy of God's love. If you look at the word sin, the actual definition of the word sin is an impaired state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. And that's fear. Fear is the impaired state of human nature in which the self is estranged from God. Remember, there is only two energies, love or fear. And when you're in the energy of love, you are absolutely at one with God. So sin is in fact fear. And what I really encourage people to understand is that, you know, religion is going off of the biblical teachings, which are incredibly powerful, very metaphorical, but also the translation in the Bible went through a ton of morphifications. Is that a word? Transmogrifications. How's that? That's an actual word, and it's a great one. I get a dollar in the jar for that one. Anyway, a lot of different translations of the Bible over the years, and there was a linguistic issue early on when the Bible was being translated. So the idea of sin, I believe, is the original translation. The original word was fear. And so that idea that we're born sinners and God is our salvation, here's how I interpret that. We're born human with natural human fear, and God is our strength. God is where we can find our safety, our true safety. Then you have the issue of instinctual fear versus reasoning or intellectual fear. Instinctual fear is literally that. It's the fight or flight syndrome. It's what protects us. It keeps us from danger. It allows us to literally survive. From an animal perspective, the reasoning or intellectual fear, that's where our psyche comes into play. That's where belief systems, that's where identities, that's where perceptions, theories, etc. come into play. And that's where we get ourselves into trouble. And we've talked a lot on this show about, you know, what do you do about that? Well, you work on those belief systems, you get some help changing those legacies, and you do the prayer stuff to keep your mind in line with the divine. Another thing that people really get up in arms about as far as religion is concerned is this whole idea of Jesus. People really kind of, that's actually, Jesus seems to be the pivot point for most people. And I just find that absolutely fascinating because I think he's a pretty cool dude. And even if you don't buy into the whole, Christianity version of Jesus, bottom line, the guy existed and was an extraordinary miracle worker. He was unveiled. He knew exactly who he was, and he was incredibly connected to God, and he had extraordinarily human moments. And so utilizing that myth, if you will, of Jesus, here's how I like to interpret that. Jesus died to free us from sin. That never really made sense to me until I started to understand the idea of sin as fear. Jesus proved that the greatest human fear, death, is nothing at all. He took away our fears through transcending death. And there's an actual biblical passage, 2 Corinthians, that says Christ had no sin, but God made him become sin so that in Christ we could become right with God. Here's my translation. Christ had no fear. He really didn't. The man was fearless. He would have had to have been to do what he did. But God made him come up against the greatest human fears, rejection and death. Those are the two greatest human fears. So that through his resurrection, we would see that there really was nothing to fear. I think that's a really powerful thing to remember. A lot of times people give up on religion and God because of prayer. Been praying and my prayers are not answered, or they're not answered the way they want them to be. And we've talked about this a billion times, too. God doesn't always take away the pain or the problem. Often he just gives you the strength to endure so that you can learn and grow from your situation. That's the whole this or something better gig. So, New Age. Here's what's fun about the New Age. Here's how the New Age gets in there and does the same freaking thing that religion does. That's what I just love about this whole fight, this whole, religion is better than the New Age, or the New Age is better than religion. No, it's not. They're the exact same thing, and they have the exact same problems. Everything has a blessing and a curse. Here's the curse of the New Age. It's homogenized God. It's created this nameless, faceless God, this energy that's everywhere and everything, because the New Age doesn't want to insult people, doesn't want to make people cringe at the idea of God, because the people that have moved to the side of the New Age, the camp of the New Age, are doing so as a rebellion against the structure and the limitations of quote-unquote religion. So it's just fascinating to me because, again, whenever you do anything out of fear, you're just going to create the same crap you're trying to avoid. That's inevitable. That's as solid of a law as gravity. Trust me on this. So the nameless, faceless God, there's your separation from God. The same way that religion says we're sinners and we don't deserve God. Well, when God is this nameless, faceless energy, how can you be intimate with that? Human brain cannot wrap around the idea of having breakfast with the universe. Sorry, it doesn't work. And you need to be able to sit down and have breakfast with God. The New Age gained strength in the early 80s, specifically as a rebellion against those strictures, but creates the same thing. Spiritual paralysis, unreachable perfection. That's the other thing. That whole sinner thing, and you got to jump through all the hoops in religion. Well, guess what? In the New Age, according to the New Age, if you're doing all the right kind of stuff and you're spiritual enough, well, then you never have a bad moment. It's just love, light, and bliss. There's nobody that can live up to that, not remotely. So it sets up that same unreachable perfection, and the whole PC approach to God comes from we are God, therefore we don't need God. Horse pucky. Absolutely. Love, light, and bliss. Here's the truth of love, light, and bliss, kids. You ready? Imagine it for a second. Love, light, and bliss. You'd be bored, paranoid, and gunning for the worst kind of trouble in under 2 weeks. It would be the worst kind of paranoia because the human psyche is not wired to deal with absolute perfection. We have to have contrast. We have to have conflict in order to, again, fire off that instinctual fight or flight syndrome. Okay, if you don't have that in you, you're going to create it. You are going to create a problem. And believe me, the problems that we create are 1,000 times worse than any problem that exists as a result of nature or God. So the biggest thing for me is the whole longing. We are all hardwired with a longing to search for, find, and merge with something beyond ourselves, something that makes us feel greater than we can be alone. And that desire is to merge with God. Neither religion nor the New Age paves the way for that. It creates a sense of separation. So here's the blessings that come from both religion and spirituality. And this is where, to me, it's absolutely fascinating. And yes, kids, I'm going to talk about the P word, polarity, because polarity is in everything. Here's the polarity of religion and the New Age. Religion, Judeo-Christian theosophies, give us structure. They give us history. They give us a foundation. It's purpose, focus, strength, direction. Class, what is that? It's the masculine. The New Age gives us freedom of expression, magic, creativity, okay? Love, light, nurturing emotion. The feminine. In both religion and the New Age, if they're combined, what have you got? You have perfect polarity. You got that masculine sense of structure and purpose and history with this incredible freedom of expression and creativity that comes with the feminine. I think that's pretty amazing. And I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that's coincidence. I know for a fact it's not. In nature, there is always balance, okay? With God, there is always balance. So doesn't it stand to reason that even in our most wacko human machinations, there's going to be balance? We're going to be drawn to balance in some respect. So the problem that I see in that whole idea of religion versus spirituality is that even the idea of the separation between the two. And don't get me wrong, sometimes when I go to church, there's a Christian church that I go to every once in a while, I sit there and I cringe. I sit there and I get all squirrely and want to climb out of my skin, partly because I feel that limitation in the preaching that's going on. And I want, of course, being the double Sagittarius yak monster that I am, I want to grab the microphone away from this dude and get up there and start preaching myself. But it's the limitation that disturbs me. The idea that we stay separate from God. So spirituality to me, true spirituality, is living the things that you can learn from both religion and the New Age. Picking and choosing, taking the things that fit you and leaving the rest. There's a great AA-ism, take what you like and leave the rest. Take what works. But actually putting it into practice. I cannot tell you how many people I have spoken to over my career who claim to be incredibly spiritual or claim to be incredibly religious. Mostly they say they're Christian or Catholic. And when I start to talk to them about, well, you know, so what do you do for prayer practice, etc., they look at me like I've sprouted a second head and they don't understand what I've just asked them. I think that's absolutely fascinating that neither religion nor the New Age really teaches us how to connect to God in that very, very deep level. And true spirituality to me is putting God into practice. There's a great quote from a 16th century French layman named Brother Lawrence. He called prayer practicing the presence of God. You have to practice God every single day. You have to work it. You have to understand, first of all, who are you talking to? You know, who are you praying to? Who are you believing in? You got to explore it. You have to be willing to go into it and find out. You have to be willing to feel the experience of darkness and find God in that. You have to be willing to experience the thrill of the light and understand the opportunities that come in that, know where that comes from, all of it. But it really is about understanding, exploration, and most importantly, practice. And that's a daily, sometimes breath by breath thing. And none of us, no one will perfect it in any given lifetime. It's impossible. And that's another reason why I really love the whole idea of Jesus, because I love how he walked his talk while he was here on this planet. You know, he faced it down and he wanted to give up, and he tried to give up, and then he rallied, and he hung in there. Well, that's the whole story of being human, is you face it, you face the fears, you find God, and you keep going. And every single day, it's something new, and especially right now with the planet the way it is. Every single day, it's something new. So I really just... I'm so passionate about teaching this stuff, first of all, and I would really love to encourage anybody that's listening today to drop this whole idea of religion versus spirituality. Try and just really just forget that there is this battle line that's been drawn over the years, and just be willing to explore and play with the best of all of those things. That's something that I really felt fortunate when I first got into witchcraft. And start. That's one of the reasons I was drawn to witchcraft, in fact, was because it felt so eclectic. It felt like you could just do pretty much whatever the heck you wanted to do, and in some ways you can. But it was funny, because when I was writing the book on Wicca, boy, did I come head-to-head with some pagans who were, even more dogmatic than any Christian I'd ever met, which I just found absolutely fascinating, because I thought they should know better. But anyway, you know, dogma is dogma. People get all up in arms about their way. And that's because of the fear thing. That's because of that fear factor. So you get a chance to play with all these different things. I think that's the best of the best, is to be in that mindset. So as you're walking around in the world coming up here, I want you to just be willing to combine those things and know that true spirituality is an intimate connection with God, and it is about showing up in the world as consciously as you possibly can every single minute and work in that relationship like it's the only thing that matters. So we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines. We got some people on hold, so don't go away. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense 4-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
What might life be like if there were room for heroes and goddesses again? Not merely in fairy tales, but alive in every one of us. Are you ready to truly own and live your destiny? Introducing CSI, developed and facilitated by visionary NLP practitioner Michelle Morgan. CSI is a unique fusion of progressive techniques which create powerful permanent change in the psyche at the exact point where your unconscious patterns originate. Go to www.michellemorgan.org to find out more about CSI. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Major flashback. I've just flashed back to the early days of my psychic career working in metaphysical bookstores. That's all we'd ever listen to was Enya. Enya! The never-ending Enya. Actually, I love that song. I do. It's an awesome song. Again, kids, you should watch. You should see Barb dancing over here. It's pretty amusing. All righty. So we're going to go to the phone lines here in a second. Next week's show is on forgiveness. Forgiveness, tough freaking topic. Really important to talk about. And I think it's interesting in light of the fact that we are all about completion cycles right now. Changing paradigms, etc. You cannot manifest anything new if you don't clean out your garage, baby. So we're going to talk about forgiveness. So stay tuned for that next week. We're going to go to the phone lines. We got Erica in Brazil. Erica.
Yes, hello.
Hi, babe. How are you?
I'm all right, and you?
I'm good. So what's happening yes. in your world, Sugar?
Oh, a lot of things is happening.
Okay.
Yes, it's cooking here. I'm into surrender. A mix of surrender, a mix of should I do prayers? Should I do more visualization with affirmations?
Okay.
Both are the same. And the surrender piece goes to your topic.
Right.
Because I think it has all to do with God.
It absolutely does.
My question that if we surrender complete to what it is, mm-hmm. for the present moment.
Right.
And our ego are very kind with us, and he doesn't show up, you know, kicking and screaming. And we have that position of neutrality.
Right.
So what can we create from this place of surrender?
Everything. So this is such a great subject, kiddo. I'm so glad you asked this question, because surrender is the hardest thing in the world. I remember one time talking to a client about her needing to surrender, and she said, "I hate that word. Every time I hear that word, I think of that scene from Wizard of Oz where the witch is flying in the air and surrender, Dorothy." So here's the thing about surrender. I encourage people to move in the idea of giving up. Giving it up to God, because surrender is really scary to the human animal. We don't, you know, losing control triggers the fight or flight thing. Okay. It's that instinctual nature. So, you know, again, one of the disadvantages of the new age is this myth that somehow if you're spiritual enough, you're going to be able to just surrender everything and just kind of float along and be happy, skippy and peppy and bursting with love. And it doesn't work that way, because you're not going to be able to truly, completely detach in that really zen way that everybody's trying to go for while you would inhabit a human body. And I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying that unless you are going to join a monastery and be removed from the human world, you're probably not going to be able to truly be in a consistent state of detachment. Is that a fair statement?
I think so.
Okay. So that being said, those of us living out here in the world and doing things and manifesting things, that surrender piece, that's literally, I'm not exaggerating, that is a pretty much a minute-by-minute process, or at least an hourly process, where you are turning things over to God. When the fear comes in, because it will, all right, that's when you grab the affirmative prayer statements, okay? And that's something that I would actually love to have a moment to be a little clearer about. When I'm talking prayer, I am most of the time talking about affirmative prayer statements. Those ones by Catherine Ponder that I always give out to everybody are so powerful and so brilliant. And then prayer is also talking to God, conversing with God. But the affirmative prayer statements are just an amazing resource and an amazing tool to grab onto during the day. Words are so powerful. And this is something that I absolutely learned when I started to study witchcraft, was the extraordinary power of words. As a writer, I've always believed in that. And as a kid, I never understood that saying, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." I always would have preferred somebody to beat me with a stick than to say something mean to me, because words have an extraordinary power, because they infiltrate the psyche. So prayer, affirmative prayer in particular, is such an amazing power tool. but you have to use it. And it's not something that you can do for 10 minutes and then be good to go. You have to keep doing it, especially when you're in the process of manifestation, because manifestation is about change, right? If you're in the process of trying to manifest something, it means that the thing you're trying to manifest is not here in the moment. Is that true?
Yes.
Right? You're trying to get it, right? So as soon as it gets there, it's going to be a whole new world for you. So you're in this extraordinary process of anticipating change. Change is scary to the human animal, to that instinctual fear place. Don't know who I am in that. So, you know, yada, yada, yada. So there's all that fear stuff that comes up. So that surrender process needs to be a constant process where you're working with God, you're turning over the fears. Lord, please heal my disbelief. One of my favorite affirmations is about allowing God's good to come in and manifest instead of my own. Lord, you know best. I know your will for me is greater good than I can possibly imagine. That's an amazing prayer, because that means that you are surrendering to God's will so that he can work his magic. And you want to know another little secret of that?
Go for it.
Our will, what we want, those huge desires that we have, God wants us to have. That's God asking to be expressed through us. And I know I've talked about this a number of times on this show, but it really bears repeating. Even the human fears that we have, or human desires that we have, like chocolate, new shoes, chocolate. that's actually God wanting us to have that too, because, you know, it makes us happy. But the huge desires, right livelihood, true love, health, wealth, all of those things, that's God literally asking to be expressed through us. So you better believe he's going to be absolutely invested in helping us make those things happen. So that surrender process is acknowledging that God is working with you to manifest the things that you want. And then you're open to receiving the guidance. You get the guidance, you take the action, you keep going, and then you keep surrendering. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's like I need to take some action to make, you know, my future to turn into reality.
Right.
And I quite don't know where to start.
Okay.
And this, I feel the fear comes up.
Yeah, you bet.
Even though I, you know, I know what I want, I don't know how to manifest that.
Yeah.
It's not a specific outcome. It's something on that, you know, range.
Yes. So here's the key factor in that, though, and this is so important. God is actually in the how of a situation. God, the proof of God doesn't actually come in the manifestation. The proof of God comes in how we manifest. That's where the magic is.
I agree with you.
That's where the magic is. So
I yes.
Go ahead.
I'm agreeing with that, and that's exactly where I feel a little bit stuck.
Stuck, yeah.
Because it's like, okay, I can approach it this way, that way, and
right.
Look like no way is going to be made because I don't have the resource yet to okay. approach one way or another.
Okay.
So it's kind of, okay, what I do?
Yeah, so that's a perfectly powerful question. In that moment, when you don't have clarity, you keep praying for clarity. You got to remember, too, there's divine timing in any situation. And that's the toughest variable for any of us to handle, is the divine timing piece. And I can't tell you how many times I have been in this position where I'm praying to God, I'm thanking him in advance for the divine guidance that I'm receiving. And then by the end of the day, I'm going, oh, my gosh, did I miss it? I didn't get any guidance today. Maybe I wasn't paying attention. It's like if you're praying all day long to God about getting guidance, you're not going to miss the guidance. God doesn't whisper, first of all. He whacks you upside the head and gives you really amazing clarity and fun. That's the other thing. That's why we talk about the cosmic critter of the week. That's guidance. You know, when you see those signs, when you get that information, you're being guided. Part of the challenge right now on this planet, and astrologers have been talking about this for a while, is that we are all in this weird in-between place. The old paradigm doesn't work anymore, and we are shedding skins like crazy, and things are exploding and falling apart right, left, and center. But the new paradigm, the new direction, the new manifestation isn't here yet. We can't see it. We can feel it coming. We can feel the rumbling of change. We can sense that something way better is out there. Some people are sensing that things are going to be way worse. Those are the pessimists. We're not even talking about that camp. But the problem is we're in that interim state. And I believe strongly that it's a combination of divine timing and it is about our faith being strengthened. That's that dark night of the soul that I talk about all the time. Florence Scovel Shinn described it the best. The dark night of the soul is that period of time just before your prayers come true, just before the dreams manifest, when everything seems to fall apart. Everything seems to not work anymore, and you feel completely and totally lost. That's Jesus 40 days in the wilderness. That is Noah 40 days in the flood, okay? That is this amazing, mystical period of being in a fog where you don't know what the heck you're doing. And the point of that is to allow those fears to surface. Take a look at the fears. What's coming up in you? Do the work you need to do on those things and keep sticking to the prayer practice. Faith is only faith if you work it, right? So it's interesting when I'm looking at this energy for you psychically, specifically, Erica, you're totally in a cocoon phase, completely in a cocoon phase. And my sense is that you're about to climb out of your skin because you can feel the pressure of the change coming. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I want you to give it about another 3 weeks. I want you to absolutely promise me that you will knuckle down and make every single day all about strengthening your faith, continuing to believe that God is guiding you, even when you don't get any guidance, and allow some things to unfold and reveal themselves to you, because you're not supposed to move forward without clarity. Okay, so be giving thanks in advance for the clarity, and then just allow it to come. And in the meantime, you keep doing the work you need to do to take care of yourself and to keep your eye on the prize. Because from what I'm looking at, it's going to, when it does happen, when it turns around, it's going to happen fast. So you got to be ready for that. But right now you're absolutely stuck. And it feels like it's a crucial stuckness. It's the cocoon phase, kiddo. You come out of that cocoon too soon, you're not going to be able to fly because your wings are going to be damaged. Okay.
Okay.
So can you hang in there for 3 more weeks?
Oh, definitely. I haven't been for a good time here, so yeah. 3 weeks is nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for you. You bet. And at some
I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, at some point in 3 weeks, you're going to feel like, oh, for crying out loud, I can't believe it's taken this long. So that's okay, too. But you just keep turning that stuff over, okay?
Okay, I'm doing the cleaning and strengthening my trust in God.
Yes, absolutely.
Doing that work,
yep.
Because I know what's needed.
Yeah, that's all you need to do. That you're doing exactly what you need to do, kiddo. God will make it really clear. I promise you that. Okay.
Thank you.
So I want to hear from you in about a month. Okay.
I will.
Yeah, I want to hear it and see what happens. So, all right.
Keep the good work. I'm really thankful for what you do.
Thank you, darling. I appreciate it very much. Thanks for listening, and we'll be talking soon. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, baby. Take care. We're going to go to Terry in Richland. Terry!
Michelle, guess what?
What, baby?
I don't even have to ask anymore. You just hit everything on the head.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't it fun? We all think we're so separate from each other, and everybody's going through the exact same thing. We need to have just a great big slamming party, I think. Don't you think so? I think we just need to have this great big like sleepover, the slumber party, where everybody's in their jammies and we eat a lot of junk food and we just laugh and cry about the garbage we're in right now. I think that'd be a ton of fun, don't you?
Yes, and the fact that we're not alone in what we're thinking.
Exactly.
And that, what's happening to everybody else too?
Everybody else. Yeah. No, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. So there's absolutely nothing that I can answer for you?
No, really what I was going to ask was, how do you reconcile all the thinking about manifesting your dreams and realities with God's will and surrendering to that? And you just did all that. No, I do have a funny question, though.
Okay.
I've been asking the angels to, I think I have 5, and I've been wanting them to confirm that they're there, or they're the ones I think they are.
Okay.
And so I asked them for feathers or something like that, you know, because I believe in asking for the sign, so you don't question, was that the sign?
Absolutely.
But instead, I keep seeing the numbers. you know, and I'm not a number person, so I'm like, okay, are you joking with me?
So what numbers are you getting?
11, 11, and then sequential, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Ah, very nice. There's a phenomenal book that I suggest everybody get. It's by Doreen Virtue. It's called Angel Numbers. Now, there's two versions of that book. There's one that's called Angel Numbers 101, and that book's easy to find in bookstores. But the one that I recommend is simply called Angel Numbers. It's the original version of that book, and you get it off of Amazon. The coolest. I have a copy of that in my car and in my house because I'm always asking the angels for specific information on license plates. And it's crazy. I am not kidding you. That is one of the most fun, crazy, powerful ways that angels can give you information. So, yeah, number sequences are phenomenal. And Doreen Virtue is brilliant. And so get that book and keep it on you. And then you can be getting information right, left, and center. And so here's the other thing I want you to look for. Feathers, but not necessarily the actual feather, like images of feathers or, you know, a scratch on the side of a car that looks like a feather.
Looks
I'm not
like
kidding you. Yeah.
Okay.
And you'll get those images, trust me. Or somebody...
Yeah, because, you know, I'm walking around in my mom's yard and there's birds all over and so there's feathers. I'm going, no, this doesn't count.
That's too freaking obvious. Except, you know what? Here's the thing. There's a bunch of angels hanging out with those birds going, for crying out loud, we're dropping these things everywhere. And she's doubting it. What do we have to do?
So, that is too
you know
funny.
What? I would tell you to go to your mom's house, pick up every freaking feather out of her grass, and rejoice that you have just gotten the loudest message possible that your
funny.
Angels are paying attention.
I just love how you are able to, because I fight it. I'm a former church.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I fight that, the way I was taught,
yeah.
And the new way, so to speak.
You bet.
And which one is right, and who am I really talking to, and blah, blah, blah. And
it's
so I'm
sad.
So glad to hear you just...
Yes.
And, of course, I'm right in the middle of your Wicca book, so...
Cool. Well, it's really sad to me. It really is. It's tragic to me that there is that separation, because there's so much treasure in both of those paradigms, in both of those belief systems. It's like, why not take... everything that you can get out of it. And the bottom line is religion of any kind. And excuse me, but New Age is a religion. Religion's just a language. That's all it is. And I think that God created all of us to be multilingual. It's way more fun to be multilingual anyway. So
what a cool perspective.
You might as well just grab on and play with all of it. And believe me, you're going to have a lot more ways to connect to God if you do it that way. So
that is too cool.
All right,
that's
Cookie.
Cool.
So you have fun time gathering feathers, okay?
I'll do that.
All right, sweetheart. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
You take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Cool. This is a great topic. You know, people have a lot of questions about this topic at all times. So I'm going to be looking forward to hearing back from people on their experiences with dropping the whole, you know, this versus this, and just owning all of the treasure. All righty. So next week, again, we're talking about forgiveness, and would love to hear from you. Jump on my Facebook fan page. You can go onto my website, michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org. And you can click on the right side of any page in the links box and get onto the fan page. So come see me next week, everybody. Have a great one. Barbie, thank you, darling girl. It was tons of fun. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Take care.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, morgan.org.